Who doesn't love Crater Lake? It's Oregon's only national park, and yet, you know, it would probably be private property today if it weren't for an early Albany newspaper man, the founder of the Albany Herald, who fought tooth and nail for nearly 20 years to get this lake set aside as a public park in the face of really serious opposition from timber companies who really wanted to take it and log it. I'll tell you the story in just a minute, but first I better introduce myself real quick. My name is Finn J.D. John, and I write a weekly newspaper column that runs in about a dozen papers around the state. It's called Offbeat Oregon History. You're listening right now to one of our archive columns, which was first published on March 22nd, 2009. I'm going to read it to you now if you'd like some more information about this podcast or about the newspaper column it's part of. Stay tuned. In Oregon, there's one place where you're allowed to fish for free, and you've got a former Albany newspaper owner to thank for that. It's in Oregon's famous Crater Lake, where you can wet a line without paying the man. Yet very few people ever do, because the lake is one of the largest bodies of water in the state. Not in terms of surface area, of course, but it's so deep it holds an enormous amount of water. And the fish colony just isn't very big. It's free to fish there because the fish aren't actually supposed to be there. Crater Lake never had fish in it before, and that's part of why its water is so clear and brilliantly blue. So how did the fish get there? Well, that gets back to the newspaper man. His friends called him Will Steele, but when he founded the Albany Herald in 1880, his name was listed as William Gladstone Steele. Albany's other paper was the Democrat, which at the time was more than just a name. Steele? Firmly Republican. Steele was one of the most important figures in Oregon history. After being fired from the post office in Portland for being a Republican, Americans had just elected Grover Cleveland, see, and the Democrats were cleaning house. At that time, he went out to explore the state. One of his first priorities was to find the jewel-like lake he'd heard about as a boy, which none of the locals seemed to know existed. When he did find that lake, he raced to Washington, D.C., and somehow convinced the president who'd just canned him shortly before to block settlement in the area until he could survey it. Then he returned to Portland, hired a survey crew, and had three boats built and hauled to the lake, where he floated out on the water to take soundings. This was in 1886. By the way, at this time, the settlement process was supposed to be for small landholders. But what was happening was the timber companies had figured out that they could pay saloon bums and sailors and transients some money to go in and file land claims on these things, and then they would claim the land and sign it over to the timber companies. So when I say land for settlement or block settlement, what I really mean is block turning it over to the timber companies, because that's where it would go. Steele, when he tried to take the soundings, found that he hadn't brought enough rope. He suggested at one point that the lake might, in fact, be bottomless. Finally, with more line, the crew found the deepest part, just shy of 2,000 feet. After getting Steele's report, Congress introduced a bill to preserve the lake and 36 square miles of the surrounding terrain as a national park. And the fight was on. There were a lot of trees in those 36 square miles, and several companies wanted to turn those trees into money. Of course, first, they wanted to turn some money into homesteaders who would buy the trees and sell them to them, but that was all part of the plan. Steele fought tirelessly for his park. Realizing that outdoorsmen, yes, outdoorsmen, remember this was the late 1880s, could help his cause, Steele decided to stock the lake with trout. So he offered some kids in Rogue River a dime for each minnow they caught. They brought him 600. A very worried and out-of-pocket Steele asked them what they wanted for the lot, and they requested 4 bits. Relieved, Steele gave them each a buck and took the minnows 45 miles to the lake. At each stream, he stopped to freshen the water, but most of them were dead by the time he got to the lake. Still, 37 of the original 600 survived to cause the present-day problem there. Steele also, during that time, founded the Oregon Alpine Club, a diverse outfit composed of campers and outdoors people of all sorts, possibly with the same idea in mind. More appreciators of nature meant more support for his lake. A few years later, he organized the state's famous Mazama Club, open only to people who'd climbed Mount Hood. Finally, after a 17-year fight with timber and grazing interests in Congress, Steele saw his dream realized. In 1902, Congress officially made Crater Lake the nation's fifth national park. That's the end of today's column. If you're listening for the first time, here's a little more information about this podcast and about Offbeat Oregon History, the newspaper column it's part of. Offbeat Oregon History tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about, the ones everyone has forgotten. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghai sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. We've got all of those things. It's a weekly column, and I've been writing it since late 2008. So right now there are about 175 published episodes in the kitty. So every weekday morning I pull one of those episodes up and put it out on the daily RSS feeds. One in text and pictures for your newsreader, and one in audio only for your podcatcher or for iTunes. You can read any archive column and subscribe to either daily feed by going to the website at offbeatoregon.com. Both feeds are optimized for smartphone or iPhone use, but they work great on iPad, tablet, netbook, computer, whatever you got. All the columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Thanks for listening, and do drop me a line if you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of coffee. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Have a great day.